Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
The 80th Nevada legislature has come and gone. 120 days. Democrats controlled everything. The governor's office, the assembly, the state senate. And a lot of us were asking the question, how bad will it be? How much damage can Democrats do to our state? Joining us, a guy that has been with us for, I think, the entire legislature, joining us from Carson City, Don Soifer, the president of the Nevada Action for School Options Group. He joins us in studio, no less. We were all wondering how bad it was going to be. How bad was it for education and in particular for school choice?
Oh, thank you, Kevin. And it is great to be home. It was getting kind of brutal in the last couple of weeks of the session. I mean, it came down to all of the things that we expected for all of those 120 days would happen. I mean, are they going to get the two-thirds vote, or are they going to try to push it if they don't get the two-thirds vote? And what's on the table to get that done or to not get that done? And the last 5 or 6 days of the session were 15, 16-hour days. We left the legislative building at 1 o'clock in the morning. And the great ladies who are the attaches and the support teams were running on 3 hours sleep for about a week. And we got the kind of outcomes that I think you would expect reasonably to get under those strange circumstances.
Is it easier or tougher today after the Nevada legislature and the Democrats have had their way? Is it tougher to find school choice across our state?
Well, one thing we need to understand, right, is that about 15%, a little more than 15% of Nevadans activate their option and go to schools of choice, get their schooling from schools of choice. That's really not that many kids, especially when you talk about the entire size of the scholarship program, which is just over 2,000 kids, when there's 430,000 kids statewide attending school. What we really need to focus on now that we've got the off season, we've got 2 years to get ready for the next session. First of all, we really need to support our schools of choice. We really need to build capacity so our ability to provide families with the opportunities to serve their kid how they think best are really going to be there and really going to be strong. And your fantastic listener base, I'd love to help them get to know their local schools of choice. Get to know them. Come and visit my nonprofit, Nevada Action for School Options. Leads those tours and get to know the schools, join the board, help them understand what their challenges are and get where we need to be so that we're as strong as possible next time around.
Let me just ask you, when you talk about school choice, let's talk about everything that's there. Does that include charter schools?
It does. It includes charter schools.
And explain charter schools for those that do not know.
So charter schools are, in fact, public schools. They're open enrollment, so it's first come, first serve, and any student that lives in the school district that wants to apply to the charter school can get in, and if there's too many kids, it goes to a straight lottery, so they have to take all kids. And in exchange for some flexibility from the collective bargaining agreement and some of the crazy district rules, we sat last night with the superintendent and the lawmakers at a great program at UNLV, and the superintendent was explaining, now is the time he's really going to shift the Clark County School District, the fifth largest school district in the country, from a manual payroll service where good staff are filling out the payroll forms by hand to one that's online and computerized. So charter schools don't have to be involved with all of those ways of doing things that are required of district schools. But in exchange for that, they need to show agreed upon results for student performance or they can get shut down. And low performing charter schools do get shut down. And that's the big difference.
Do we ask that of the other schools, the other brick and mortar schools?
We don't.
The accountability that you were talking about. Hey, you don't move the needle, you're not going to be around.
So one of the losses of this legislative session was the Achievement School District, which your listeners will remember was pretty political when it first got stood up. And that was the only real example in the state, and it was only in Clark County, where there actually were implications and consequences for persistently, not even low performing, but the lowest 5% performing schools in the school district. And it doesn't take a lot of imagination to understand what those one-star schools are doing in terms of student results. And rather than just straight up test scores, I like to talk about growth. Like, so what are you doing with the kids that you have over the time that you have them? That's very measurable now. We track that. And when you see a school that not only has really low achievement and proficiency, but not very much growth with the students they have. There needs to be some mechanism for giving parents at that school hope for it to improve, or give those parents the options that they ask for.
Don Soy for joining us, the president of Nevada Action for School Options. We talked about charter schools. There are other school options that are out there, some where kids stay at home, homeschooling. Is that included in school options?
We do, absolutely. So about 10%, we don't actually know, because Nevada tracks homeschoolers, and there's some fantastic homeschoolers here in Clark County and really around the state, and some terrific people who work to support them, like the Rise Resource Center does really great work with those families. But they don't – in Nevada, the government tracks them when they're registered to become homeschoolers. It gets a little tricky to come up with actual numbers other than that. So maybe I said 10%. I meant to say about 10,000 homeschoolers. But absolutely. And this is the golden age for digital content. So if you're a family and you want to homeschool your kid, or more and more we're seeing arrangements like homeschool co-ops that are terrific. There's all sorts of free and inexpensive content to help parents provide the education for their kids. And my nonprofit is more than happy to help them connect with that. This is a real good time for that way of doing things educationally.
I'm just curious, because it seems as if the teachers' unions are against all of these. You had an opportunity across 120 days in Carson City. You had a chance to go toe-to-toe with the teachers' unions. How do we take back our schools as we look forward? You know, there's nothing we can do about what happened in the 120-day 80th Nevada legislature. But what is there that we can do? What is it that parents that are listening to this right now, what is it we can do to fix this, to make the teachers' union actually care about the kids in failing schools?
Now, don't get me wrong to any of your listeners that might not know me as well. We really do need to improve our public schools. Like, without a doubt, that's what this is about. And when Milton Friedman invented school choice in 1965, it was about figuring out ways to put pressure on the system, to put upward pressure on the quality of our public schools by giving parents those choices. And when you look at a state like Florida that has such a robust program of school choice, that you actually saw large school district superintendents put their salary on the line to their school boards to say, we will improve our results by this much, or you can keep my salary. When you see things like that happening, that's where Nevada needs to get to, because until we have that sort of competition in the wonks, and I am a wonk, as your listeners know, we call it pluralism in education, real choices for families. And until we really have that in a really robust system that allows for that, it's going to be really hard to expect our public schools to improve to get where they need to be.
One of the casualties of the 80th Nevada legislature was education savings accounts. We know them as ESAs. They were heralded 4 or 5 years ago as one of the breakthroughs in education across the country. We were heralded by other people around the country as innovative, something that will actually work, that will actually move the needle. And now the term education savings account has been wiped off the ledger. It's almost as if it never happened. Is anybody else using ESAs around the country?
There's some pending legislation in some southeastern states that we could see it move ahead, but right now we were the only state that had gotten that far, and there's
Did Arizona? I thought Arizona went to something
Arizona. Yeah, Arizona is also a state very much in play, and we could really see that. So how does this actually work? Because parents under an ESA program that really is to me the next generation and how this needs to work, not only could choose a school of choice, like we're going to go to Bishop Minogue or to Bishop Gorman, but an education savings account model actually allows a parent to purchase the specific services or content or tutoring, whatever it might be, and put together a program on their own that really is best designed to serve the needs of their kid. It's really the education of the future, and Nevada was so close to seeing it. And remember, when the Supreme Court struck down, it wasn't the law that they struck down. The Supreme Court, in the Nevada Supreme Court, was very clear that this is in fact constitutional. It's just that you need a funding mechanism to get it done that will pass muster with this very specific roadmap that they gave us. So the plan was right there. And as your listeners who pay attention know, that it was the ESA program in Nevada was a casualty of that last minute chest beating and posturing that characterized the very end of the legislative session.
Okay, and you touched on it though. Logic tells me that if I'm in the public school system, my child is in a failing school, and I have an opportunity to allow the money, the $6,200, whatever it is, and let it follow my child to whatever option he or she wants, homeschooling, charter schools, whatever it might be, that's going to force the other public schools, the public schools, to be better. It's going to force them to be better. Am I right? I mean, logic tells me that competition will make the public schools better.
Research where there is a robust school choice ecosystem, I like to call it, is very consistent and very clear that the pressure that it puts on the public school district and its schools is positive pressure and a pattern of improvement. And we see that consistently. Opponents and you know the specific teacher union leaders who you mentioned earlier like to say, no, schools of choice siphon money out of our public school district schools. And if you think about it, first of all, the amount of dollars that it is, right? The average opportunity scholarship in the state is $4,500. The average voucher is substantially less all of the time than what the per pupil funding is, and the ESA amount would be as well. So with that goes the obligation to serve those kids. And all of this adds up to, I mean, no matter how you look at the research, it produces positive benefits, right? Because the school district, the Superintendent Jara last night once again used the opportunity to talk about how these are the most overcrowded schools in any major school district in the country. And school choice is right here. We have about 15% of Nevadans take advantage of it now. That's an answer. And schools of choice are a bargain for the taxpayer in so many ways, especially as you mentioned, you know, earlier on when we were talking the prevailing wage legislation. But just in general, the Clark County and the Washoe County school districts had their bond ratings downgraded by Standard and Poor's, to the point where it's more and more expensive on taxpayers to build and locate and plan a traditional district school. Schools of choice are a deal for taxpayers any number of ways. To me, it's really not a matter of if schools of choice are a part of Nevada's education future, but it really just at this point has to be how much of a role that turns out to be.
I happen to believe it. Again, Don Soy for joining us, the president of Nevada Action for School Options. I happen to believe that it's going to take a wave election in this state to elect people who are willing to stand up to the teachers union and force them into school choice. It's going to be better for our kids, and yet the school the teachers unions just refuse to do that. Can you get involved politically?
So our nonprofit is Nevada Action for School Options, and we are a 501c3. So we are an education organization. We're a public policy. We're not a politics organization. There are other people that do that work, but that's somebody else's fight. I'm the education wonk.
Let me just ask you, but would you agree with this statement that in order to advance school choice, we are going to have somebody in Carson City willing to stand up to the teachers' unions that have enough oomph, if you will, to get this over the line, to get ESAs fully funded, to get the opportunity scholarships fully funded and expanded. Is that what it's going to take, though, to simply elect more people that are willing to stand up to the teachers' unions in Carson City?
120 days, day in, day out, including those 11:45 at night sessions. If you listen to the teachers' unions, they don't speak with the same voice. In fact, the Clark County Education Association's dynamic leader, John Velardita, if you listened carefully to what he said, he made very clear that he sees which way the wind is blowing. He sees that there is a role for schools of choice in the future. He wants to make sure that he can get for his members everything that he can, because that's why they send him there, and that's the role of the union, make no mistake. But I think there is a very realistic sense going through the Clark County Education Association. They've got their own fights to pick, and we know very well how those are playing out, right? But one thing that we have going for us, and I can't say this enough, and I do it wherever I go, 70% of Nevadans support each of the schools of choice program. You don't get 70% support for very many things in life. And no matter how you slice and dice it, that 70% support number held true for opportunity scholarships. It was in the mid-60s for education savings accounts. It's at that same level for charter schools. And you know, it cuts Republicans and Democrats. Even Clark County Democrats are about 70% support for the opportunity scholarship program. So what we have going for us, you know, in this business, it's good to be right. And Nevadans understand that. So we have such an incredible broad base of support. And the lawmakers know that. It's the very specific small number of leaders of the legislature who wouldn't let these programs come to a vote. We were quite sure that if it came to a vote, that the votes were there because lawmakers who are in touch with their constituents understand 70% is not an easy thing to overcome.
Wow. That is a landslide in any election. Don Soifer, thank you so much for coming by and spending some time. We appreciate you joining us from Carson City. It's even better having you in studio. Thank you so much. If folks want to know more about your organization, if they want to help you, if they want to learn something, where do they go?
Come to our website, www.nevadaaction.org. No spaces. Our phone number's on there. Our emails are on there. We'd love to hear from you. Your listeners are great. And Kevin, you're a great American.
Nevadaaction.org.
Yes, sir.
I love it. Don Soifer, thanks so much.